And welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, March 25th, 2023. It is Season 17, Episode 10. 10? Yeah, 10. 10? 10's right, right? I don't know why. It feels like we've been here more than 10 weeks, but I know we've only taken like 2 off, I think. Maybe 3. Anyway, whatever. Doesn't matter. It's Episode 10. If you want to get in touch with us, our phone number... Oh, I'm Scott, by the way.
And I'm RJ.
Yeah, who we are. I mean, our names are on the screen and whatever else at this point, you should know. If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch with a hum, as usual. I cannot figure this thing out. I hope it sounds good, at least when I do the editing later so I can upload it for iTunes and everything. I just wish it sounded good for you guys. Watching on Twitch right now, it kind of sucks that way. I don't know why. I've tried so many different things to figure out what it might be. At this point, I'd really like to just come directly out of the board somehow and go right in there without having to plug into headphone jacks and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other ways. Oh, it's gonna grab the audio. Anyway, for another time. Twitch.tv is where we're at. We're also on Discord. We are, you know, all over there. You can find us on YouTube. We're not live on YouTube, but we're live on Twitch. So why not join us into the chat room where everybody else is hanging out? And where everybody else is hanging out in Discord. The links to all of that stuff is at our website. If you go to ingamechat.net, then you can find links to our Discord, to our Twitch. It's all easier to do it that way. So just go to our website and you can do it from there. So anyway, welcome into the show. RJ, what you been playing?
More of Grand Theft Auto Online. I've started doing the last dose, finally. Made a count. So I've started the story mode for that, and it's going pretty well. The missions are pretty difficult for normal. Now that I think about it. It probably was made for multiple people to go through. But going solo through it, yeah, it's been a lot of shootouts with big gangs of lost and cops and all types of other different people. So one against the world type missions that's going on there. So I've been doing that, getting some more grinding with my alt character, grinding money the way I said last week through drug sales and stolen car sales. But I've been able to get like $1 million, $1.5 million per grind, provided I'm not getting blown up by the other players online.
Yeah,
I can get a pretty good amount of cash grinding through it. It's not taking too long. I think I've got about 8.5 mil right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if I keep grinding away, I'll have double digit millions in no time. The thing is just keep plugging away without getting burned out, really. And what else I played was MLB The Show 23. Did not know it was going to come out yesterday. I thought it was going to be Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so what happened was I got home and saw I had a message from GameStop said your game's ready to pick up. So got back up, got back out in town, picked it up, got it home, and started loading it up this morning, installing it on the system. And, you know, see how well it looks, the presentation, everything. Everything looks fine and all. But then I played a demo game. And the frame rate, I could see my PS4 was struggling to play it at 30 frames. There were some times when it dropped to, I think, 20 or 20 frames a second. I mean, it was like really grinding to get the animation going in there, to get the frame rate up. So I'm going to have to do some changes in the video and see if I can clear that up, make change the camera position to be behind the catcher instead of broadcast, like a TV broadcast, see if that changes anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I think it's getting to the point where it's optimized, of course, for the PS5, probably since last year, and not for the PS4, because what I got now is struggling mightily right now. So I'll see how it actually plays later on, but initial impression is I'm gonna have to make some changes in the settings and get that thing running as best I can to give it a fair opinion on it.
Wow. Okay. Sorry.
Hmm?
Our Discord just got blown up with stuff.
Stuff. Okay.
It's spammed. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Just massively spammed. I'm guessing that's from the link that we put into our Twitch chat. And, yeah. Gonna go ahead. Try to do that. I'm sorry. So I made some changes trying to see if the audio switched, and then we had something going on Discord now. So, and we got a phone call. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's me, Chris.
Hey, what's up, Chris?
Been playing the beta. Oh, is it?
Your phone's all kind of messed up, or ours is, one or the other.
Okay.
Did you call on the whatever phone you called us on the second time last week? Is that the same one you're on?
No, I'll try my cell phone.
Yeah, do that one. Yeah, that would be better. So, sorry about that. Oh, yeah, I got to do this thing. God. Well, so many things I got to try and keep up with or see what's going on. Okay, cool. You were helping, AC Wraith. There's other people in there not being stupid or anything, so you're doing fine. You're fine putting that up there and having people join in. It's perfectly okay. I think this is going to be Chris. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I'm back. This better.
Keep talking.
Hello. How about 1, 2, 3?
Maybe we found a place here. I don't know.
See that echo going on?
It's got a weird thing with it.
You're
don't know.
Speaker.
I can hear it on my back. No, it's not.
Oh, now it sounds really good. No. Now it sounds fine.
Okay.
So go right ahead.
Yeah, it's got a little of a backlog, you know, a reverb on my end. But if it sounds fine on your end, that's all.
Yeah, it's
really
coming in. It's coming in fine here.
Okay. Yeah, I've been playing the open beta for Diablo 4 and absolutely loving it.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm hearing nothing but, mostly good things about Diablo 4. There's a few people who are not necessarily, you know, nagging on it or anything like that, but there's a few people who have some, you know, some little issues with it, but it doesn't seem like there are any kind of issues that are, hey, I'm going to stay away from this game. It's just sort of, oh, I wish they would have gone with this instead of doing this. I can't give you any specifics because I don't remember what they are, and those are only people in my Destiny Clan Discord who have brought it up in the other topics that we have. I haven't downloaded it. I haven't tried it.
Yeah. But yeah, Mason was actually able to join with me last night and play a little bit around midnight or so. So we were able to play for a little bit. And, the cool effect that they did for, with all the different characters when you join up, he was, you know, at the very beginning at level 1 or 2, and I'm level 20 or so, and all the enemies on my end of the game are level 20, and his is level 1 or 2. You know, they scale to your individual level. So all the good items I was dropping on my end that I could pass on to him, I'd just drop them on the ground and give him good gear from it, because I was getting better gear going through the same area with him.
Well, yeah, I guess I can't remember how gear drops work, but they're all tailored to each player, right? It's not.
Yeah, they're tuned into your individual side, you know, the player side of the game, and you know, so if a level 1 and 2 level 50s join together, they're not scaled. They're not even across the board for all players, or they're scaled to the individual player's level. So
exactly,
the level 1 character will have an easier time facing enemies that is his own level, and it's all balanced across everybody's board. So
it was like that in 3, I believe. I think it was just like that in 3 as well. They were able to tune it to individually to each player, so that when you were playing people who had playing with people who were levels above you, that it wasn't like, you know, they weren't carrying you through it or anything. Everybody mm-hmm. was fighting on their own, at their own scale, I guess you could say, is what it was.
Some games can't even handle that.
No.
I've seen poor handling of that. Borderlands comes to mind.
Really? Yeah. I didn't think Borderlands did. Yeah. Okay.
They didn't do it that well.
No, you're right. God, it's been forever. I remember just playing, Borderlands 1, I guess, with us, and mm-hmm. then trying to, and then I never even dipped my toe into 3.
Yeah.
I have it, but I never got around to playing it. So, well, the beta goes on through what, this weekend, right?
Till Sunday afternoon at 2.
Oh wow! Okay. Mm-hmm. Would have thought it would have gone through till Sunday night or something like that. Yeah, but 2 o'clock on a Sunday. Okay. Well, get on it if you want to play that beta. It comes out in June. I think
the game comes out.
Yeah, I think they're sitting pretty with it. I think they're okay with it. As far as I know, they got the login issues fixed. There were some issues as far as getting in a queue and waiting and all this other stuff that was going on. That was fixed in the previous beta. And I don't think there's been anything really game-breaking, buggy, or whatever with this current open beta.
Yeah, I think most of everybody is complaining just little nitpicky stuff, you know, just minor details that really don't make a darn difference for one reason or another. It's just, you know, they're just wanting to have something to complain about. But other than that, for what it is and all, I've had it throw me out of the game like 1 or 2 times, and I was able to jump back in within a minute or two, you know, very little wait time.
Yeah.
And even when I did have a queue that said, you know, you got 30, 40 minutes, it only took me about a couple, 2 or 3 minutes at the most, you know, for it to actually log me in. So it's not bad for them stress testing to see what's going on with their systems and stuff.
Yeah, and it's Blizzard. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything to worry about. Not at all. So when you're done playing the beta, when it's done at 2, what are you going to go back to? What are you going to play? What are you doing after that?
Let's see. I'm playing the other one. I can go back to the main menu to tell you the other one. It's one of those other dungeon crawling games, the Labyrinth of Galleria. This like a first person dungeon, kind of like old Dungeons and Dragons, the first person dungeon.
I was
going to
say, I think I'm familiar with that. Not that I've played it, I'm familiar with the title of it, but I haven't touched it. So, well, good hearing from you, Chris. As always, thanks for calling in, and I hope you have a good week. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Yeah, I was having some fun. I beat a little area where there's a bunch of vampires holed up, and it said that you're required, you know, level 25 plus to do it, and I was like level 21, and I was able to go through there and beat it somewhat slowly by myself with my sorcerer. So I guess I got my character spec pretty well. If I was able to handle something that was above my level by 3 or 4 levels.
It's not carrying over though, right? We know that for certain.
No, it's not carrying over, but
right.
But yeah, I've had a blast playing the sorcerer, and I've already gained the reward for getting up to level 20. I can get a little like a baby wolf that you can carry around on the back of your neck and everything. So, you know, everything else is going to be white, but, you know, at least I'll get something out of it. But it was fun playing. It was worthwhile.
All right, man. Well, you take care, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
See you, man.
We'll see
you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
I don't know. I'm not a Diablo guy. Mm-hmm. I tried it. Again, talking about it, I tried it with three.
Yeah.
Played some of it. And then, you know, didn't play it once everybody stopped. It's not a game I want to play solo, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd enjoy it solo. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I looked into it and I was like, oh crap, I got to download Battle.net again. Like, I had Battle.net when Activision owned Destiny, Bungie, right, whatever. And so I had to log in that way to get in to my game. And then when they went to Steam, I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't need Battle.net. I got rid of all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really want to put Battle.net back on my... I don't even know. I guess I need it to launch it, but I...
Wasn't there an issue with Battle.net? It had like installed like files that you didn't want to deal with?
I'm not sure.
Or some of the issue with Battle.net.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, that... I wouldn't put that out of the question, that it actually does that.
Yeah, mostly it was a matter of convenience getting rid of it because, like you said, Steam got it, so what do I need you for?
I know. So. That was the only thing I played with it, was Destiny. And so, yeah, I mean, I had Diablo 3. I still have Diablo 3, so I don't know. I don't know. No, I thought about it, and I was like, I don't want to do that. Play Diablo on Xbox. I have, do I have Diablo on Xbox? No, I have it on Switch of all things. Mm-hmm. I have Diablo 3 on the Switch because there was a deal or something. Mm-hmm. This was over a Black Friday thing. The game had just released and Walmart had gotten some sort of price mistake wrong. They were selling it.
They do that sometimes.
Yeah, they were selling it ahead of time and at a massive discount.
Yep.
And so I picked it up, even though
That's your typical Walmart, Kmart screw up.
Yeah,
something
and
coming out it, early with a low at a different price than it's supposed to be.
It's also your typical bait for me. I hear about something that is being sold early and at a discount. Is it a game you play? Well, not really. But I can't pass it up. I don't know why.
Well, possibly you might like the game. It's not the cost of entry isn't that bad. And two, if it blows up, you got it cheap and you can sell it on eBay or something else for a ridiculous price.
Boy, I wish I had that mindset when I had done that. But that's not what it was in my... I was just like, ooh, I got a game and it's cheap and it's before anybody else. And then I never played it. So, yeah.
If only I knew then what I know now.
You're right. I need to look at it more that way, where it's like, ooh, you got something. Now try and make a profit on it. That's how I should look at a lot of things. Hey, make a profit off that. What you just got. Then put something behind it. Get some profit on it. I have been playing Destiny 2. I almost said Diablo 2. Destiny 2, of course. That's it. That's what I've been playing. We did the raid last Saturday night. My first run of that raid took about 3 hours. Probably a little less than 3 hours, but not by much. If you count all that, because I was just going by how long I streamed.
Right.
Because I did stream it. And so when the clock was done, it was like 3 hours, 20 minutes. And I know most of that time was us. Well, I say most of that. Most of that time was the raid. Probably those 20 minutes or so were the logging on, getting in, getting acclimated with it, and joining the party, going into the raid itself. Mm-hmm. We also were trying to knock out as many challenges as we could, because there were active challenges within the raid, things where it's like everybody has to share this one buff. Like, you can do it however you want to, and you could do it even easier by not doing these challenges. But the challenges require different things. Only shoot this, or only do that, or do, you know, whatever the case may be in certain mechanics of the raid. And so we were just going to go through and knock those out. It increases your chances of getting the exotic that drops from that raid. Mm-hmm. So we were going through and doing those as much as we could. Tonight, I don't know if we've got to do those again for some other players who didn't make it last night, or not last night, but last weekend. Mm-hmm. Although I think if we do, I think it'll be pretty fast to go through. If we don't have to do that, I think it will be a lot quicker. This is not a damage raid. Like, this is not a DPS raid. Mm-hmm. This is not all right, everybody bring your meta weapons because we've got to put a whole bunch of damage on. No, it's not. It's a mechanic heavy raid, but it is not a damage heavy raid. So there's a lot of moving parts in each encounter for the most part.
Is this like one of those stand on this pod thing? Well, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
You've got to go shoot this orb, you get a buff. Then with that buff, you can go shoot another orb to activate it. But then you lose that buff. So you got to go back to the old orb, shoot it, grab the buff, go to another turned off orb, shoot it to turn it on. That uses up your... So there's all of these things going on. There's a bunch of other sort of mechanics that are in each encounter, of course, that you do. And yeah, we got through it about three. It is a beautiful raid. It is the Bungie can paint out. They can make a skybox. They can make just the scenery is fantastic. It's one of the prettier raids that we've done in this thing. And like I said, not a DPS type thing. It's not a very bring whatever. It's mechanic heavy. However, if you're not good at mechanics or whatever, and you join a team that's doing it and is only not doing any of these challenges or anything specific, all you have to do is clear ads. One of the easiest things to do is just, hey, just shoot the fodder that's around. You know, we'll take care of turning the switches on and whatever. We'll take care of activating DPS. You just kill things while we try and do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when it's time, get everybody together and shoot at the boss, basically. So, thought I saw the phone ringing, but maybe not. If the phone is ringing, just stay on there, and we can get you. What do we have here? Let's see. Play Diablo on Xbox. It's better with a controller. Drunk Degenerate says controller and consoles get a little gimped with ranges of skills from what I saw. Thar 66 playing Diablo 4, Resident Evil 4, and Midnight Suns. Also, Tachia, I think, but it's just okay. Might not keep going. Lot of fetch quests. Yeah, it looks like it's kind of a casual type game, but maybe fun casual. But then you throw in fetch quests, and it's like, I don't necessarily like that too much, depending on how it goes. Lethal Migraine says he saw John Wick 4 yesterday. Pretty good. Locations were wonderful. Yep, I saw it too. It's the first movie I've gone to a theater to see since December of 2020 when Dave was in town and we went and saw Spider-Man, the one with all the Spider-Men, No Way Home.
So number 4 was good.
Yeah, Wendy and I saw it.
I know of John Wick, but I never saw the films, but...
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, it might not be your cup of tea, man.
No,
but I totally
know
about
it. It's just one of those things that, not because it was bad or anything, just haven't got around to it, I guess. Maybe when a box set comes out, I'll pick it up. But for a movie to maintain its popularity or how good it performs for three sequels.
It was really surprising. The first, and just to, we got a few minutes here. I remember seeing the first one and was like, hey, that's great. That was really good, especially for it to be like a brand new, I say a brand new IP, it's kind of talking in video game terms, not necessarily an original idea, but it's not something that's pulled from some other film or whatever. It was just this thing, and it's very long. And the world building, the action in it's really great. The world building in it was even better, especially in one. And then they took the world that they built in one and they expanded upon it in two, building more of it again in three and again in four. It's one of the best parts of it is how they expand this hitman assassin world thing that they got going on. It's really, really good. And man, four is just, it is 2 hours and 50 minutes, give or take. And it just...
If a movie holds your interest long and well enough, that 3 hours will go by in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
it's when the movie is like boring or not done well. That's when things feels like it's been drawn out. Now, probably the thing about this movie is, if it's like what you said, they probably had this plan a long time because the saying, always leave them wanting more.
Yeah, originally they were going to do back-to-back films. They were going to do 4 and 5. They were going to shoot those simultaneously, but then something changed or something happened, and they decided not to do that, at least doing the back-to-back. I know the director, by the way, his next film is going to be Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay.
And let me tell you, we were watching that last night, and there's a scene that takes place at a hotel in Osaka. And there is a nice, there are quite a few fights in the thing, but this one that takes place at an Osaka hotel, the entire time there was this fight between these two guys, I was just like, this is a ghost. He's prepping for Ghost. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm very, very happy this guy is doing Ghost. Mm-hmm. I really, really am. From what I've seen of this, and obviously in the other Wick films, good hands, in very good hands.
Well, that's Gates, and I hope he sticks with the source material, and I believe he will, the way you're describing it.
Yeah, there's some really, God, there's tons of great scenes. There's some good car, there's car fights or car chases and with gunfights, and then there's just so good. It really is. I love my action stuff.
Did it put you in the mind of a Wet?
No, not at all. Wet is far too stylistic.
Okay.
This is good. It is not stylistic though.
Okay.
This is way more visceral, I suppose. I don't know if you've ever seen Gangs of London.
No.
It's a series. I think that was on AMC. They've had two seasons. That first season was fantastic. Have you ever seen the Raid films? Raid and Raid 2?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. Gareth Edwards. He was the director on all of those things that I've mentioned. Great, great, fantastic action director. And this has that feel at times, although I think Gareth can do some fantastic camera work in action. Mm-hmm. He does really, really good camera work in action. This just had really great action set pieces, fantastic action set pieces. And there is one, and I do not want to spoil it because I didn't see it coming. And I'm glad I didn't, but and I don't want to reference it, but there is a certain fight that takes place in a like an apartment complex or some abandoned building thing. And you'll know when it happens because there is a whole drawn out section of this sequence. And as soon as the camera changed, it started moving and it got into this position. And I was just giddy. I was just so excited. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. So anyway, I really don't want to spoil it. It comes way towards the end of the film, where that section happens. But it was wonderful. I'll tell you off air if you care. But I don't want to spoil it for anybody else. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's go to a commercial break. We have music here from the new Bayonetta Origins, not Bayonetta 4 or 3 or whatever. But Bayonetta Origins, there's a subtitle for that thing, and I can't remember what the name it was. But anyway, that's what this music is from. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. He said. welcome back in to in-game chat. Music here from a game called The Last Spell. The track is called In Memoriam. Not bad, I kind of like it. I hear just seconds of this stuff when I'm trying to pick it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, is this good? And I'll listen to it. As long as it's not like this, as long as it's not ambient music that doesn't really have any sort of anything going on in it.
It's like a dark action.
Yeah. I don't exactly know what The Last Spell is, to be honest with you.
I'm just guessing based off the music. I do that sometimes.
Something else I didn't realize when I was talking about that scene in John Wick 4 when that whole thing that I didn't want to spoil, the camera does its stuff, and I told RJ what it was off air. I also forgot to mention that whole sequence is one take. It's quite a long sequence with a lot of moving parts. Now, I say it's one take, but I'm sure there's ways that they may have threaded, you know, in multiple takes.
And cut
it to make it seem like it was one. Although you don't have a lot of places that you normally do to be able to pull that off. When a camera is amongst the action and in the action, you have people moving in front of it, and you can do a swipe, you know, you can do a cut there when somebody moves in front of it. You can do a couple of different cuts when you're amongst it. But this was not the case. The camera was far enough away from the action that nobody was going to go in front of the camera. And it was all done. It was all made to be done in one take, and it was just fantastic. Lethal Migraine brought up something else, the lighting in that movie. The lighting is just wonderful. Every single part of it, he's just so great with the color and everything else. I'm gushing over this film. So, yeah.
Can you give me an example of bad lighting? Like glare or something that takes away from the audience's attention?
I don't necessarily know that I can't point you in any direction of something that's specifically bad lighting. I just enjoyed the way that the lights were used here, the way he used the color of the lights in different clubs and in different places where you had deep blues and dark reds, and there was some greens in there at times, and all sorts of...
So basically visually appealing.
Yeah, very, okay. very.
Last Bell, by the way, is a... looks like a RPG, tactical RPG with roguelike mechanics.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. And I don't know, let's jump into some of the news here. Amazon has made cuts, therefore Twitch has had a lot of layoffs. This is not game related, and I'm sorry. I would buy steel books and vinyl albums and posters and stuff from Mondo.
Yeah.
That's where I get my stuff. Mondo is officially done. Funko bought them last October.
Okay.
The maker of Pops.
Yeah.
You know, those Pop things.
Yeah.
Now, that's because Mondo sold to them, but Funko bought them for probably a lot of money and has now, you know, shut them down.
Hmm.
Yeah. They're going to continue, I think, in their vinyl and their toys maybe, but who knows how long that'll last. They fired almost the entire team. The founders of Mondo are no longer there. They were gone. This happened Friday. Yesterday. This happened yesterday. No more posters. I don't think we're going to see any more steelbooks. I think they made a run on some steelbooks recently, but I stopped. They were reprinting more Marvel films, and I was like, I'm done. No. Give me some more unique stuff. Stop with this rehashing the Marvel stuff. I get it. It's a partnership. It's paid for. It's not something where it's like, we're going to decide to do this, because I don't think Mondo would. Mm-hmm. But when they get money like that, then they decide, okay, fine, we'll do this for you. So I don't know. It really, really annoyed me. We're currently flattening out all of my posters that we got because we're putting them in a portfolio. Wendy got me a portfolio for Christmas that I can put those posters in, but right now they've been in tubes, which is the worst way to keep them, honestly.
Yeah. that at that point you have to frame those things or put them in something like that to get
straight now. Right. Yeah. So there's this massive portfolio that we're putting everything in. They come in these protective sheets that we can slide those into, and so yeah.
Got backing boards on it too?
It's got a divider in it, a thick divider in it, okay. So that you can put a poster on one side and a poster on another side.
Okay.
And then it goes into a binder thing, and you can flip through and that sort of thing. So It'll keep them protected. It'll keep them laid out. So, yeah. But still, I was just so – that really bugged me that they did that. So I don't know. We'll see. There's still other places that do posters and stuff. Bottleneck Gallery is really good. I've got a few prints from them. There is rumor that these two Mondo guys who founded the company are going to go off and start something else.
Yeah.
And that would be great if they do that.
I figure in the market like that, someone else is going to step up or something else will pop up.
Yeah, we're hoping for it.
The demand is just there, so you get there. We'll get our stuff from somewhere.
Yeah. Let's see. What else do we have? So Twitch, layoffs at Twitch. Respawn opened a studio as well, a third studio, to work on Apex Legends to keep it going for another 10 to 15 years. That is a cash cow for them. It'll go. Apex Legends will continue to go for them until somebody else makes something else that draws the attention away. Will it last for 10 to 15 years? I don't think so. Not that the studio will last, sure. Will the Apex Legends Fortnite thing, will that last for another 10 to 15 years? I don't think it will.
Think so.
Not that I think it's all going to go belly up and die off or something.
No.
But I think the demand for such games or the appeal or whatever it is for such games will eventually get pulled back. We'll die down. And will not be profitable for the companies to maintain one or the other. I think you'll actually legitimately get maybe some competition there or not. Maybe they just shutter them both or something. Yeah. Who knows?
Well, the hot new genre will come out and then,
which is exactly what I'm expecting in 10 to 15 years, something else to take its place. Mm-hmm. Now, if it's close to what Fortnite and Apex Legends already offers, they could possibly tweak it by adding a mode into the game that does whatever the new hot thing is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But because I don't know what the new hot thing is going to be.
No.
And if it'll fit into that sort of thing. I feel like it'll be an evolution of whatever those games already are.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't exactly know how. People who probably play those games probably know how these things could evolve and be better or how something could come in and like, ooh, it would be really great if such and such game would come in and do both of what these things do very well or something like that. I don't know. But a new genre will come in and take its place, that sort of thing. So, another John Wick 4 thing, sorry. Every time, which wasn't very often, but every time I saw Lance Reddick on screen, because he's been in these movies, all four of them. He's actually in another one that is like a spinoff to the series that is coming out at some point. I don't know. He's already filmed it. But yeah, it was really great to see him again. Just my Destiny fanboy and thing. So it's really nice. There was a nice little in memoriam for him or in memory of at the beginning of the film. And so, yeah, really, really, it still sucks that he's gone. So what else do we have here before we got to go to the top of the hour? EA is pulling a couple of games apparently from digital storefronts. They're not pulling them from physical or anything like that. And they don't pull them. If you already own them, you can still continue to play them. But Battlefield 1943, Bad Company, and Bad Company 2 are all going to be removed from sale on April the 28th, digitally, by the way. So I just want to let you keep that in mind. Originally, it was reported that Mirror's Edge was going to be another one, but that was an error. There are no plans to remove Mirror's Edge. It will stay there. But Battlefield 1942, Bad Company, Battlefield 1943 or 42? I guess 43. Anyway, Battlefield, Bad Company, and Bad Company 2 all getting pulled. If you want to own these and don't, you need to go ahead and pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Digitally, again, I have to say that. If you have the discs, because these games were released at a time when you had to have the disc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I say that, but they were also released on EA and Steam, so you could download them digitally, the PC versions.
Yeah.
But console at the time, if you had those, you're fine. You've got the discs. Mm-hmm. You'll be good. I don't know if you still play those things, but there are a lot of people who do like to preserve their gaming library. And sometimes you can't do that digitally. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can only do that physically. And then there are times where games just don't get physical releases and you have to do it digitally if you want to do it that way. So,
like I've always done, I've always gotten the disc. Disc is my first option, but I have to do it digitally. Oh, well.
Hey, you didn't, or did you mention, because I was going through my head of like what was going on with everything around us there at the beginning of the show. Did you mention MLB The Show?
Yeah. Talked about it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was having some performance issues because it's struggling on the PS4
right okay.
now. It's probably optimized probably for the PS5, and I'm probably going to have to look at some settings and everything to get it up and running to the best I possibly can. But
that's interesting
for the PS5 though.
I've never considered going into.
I want to say Migraine said in the chat room that it played perfectly on Series X.
Well, he would say that.
Yeah.
that's exactly what Lethal Migraine would say. And he's probably right on that in the sense, but compared between a Series X and a PS4, sure.
Yeah. I mean,
That's something interesting though, that I've never really considered when having a console game to go into the settings. Now, outside of going into the settings to change brightness or to get the screen size to match whatever my TV is and that mm-hmm. sort of thing, I've never really considered going into the settings of a game and kind of tweaking the...
Warframe does that.
Graphical settings or something?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Warframe comes to mind as having PC-level
settings.
On a console.
Interesting, okay.
Because it was the reason why my PS4 was overheating. I had to go into the settings and change a whole bunch of PC-level things to keep it from overheating again. And then after I dismantled it and cleaned it out and put it back together, I was able to change those settings back for a while. So yeah, some console games do have those PC game settings in there that you can tweak and everything.
Yeah,
and I think that a lot of others are getting the hint and doing that as well.
Yeah, that's really weird. But yeah, I guess you'll have to go in there for MLB The Show. And did you get the steel? You got the Steelbook version,
Steelbook,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steelbook,
okay.
The Captain's Edition featuring Derek Jeter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, what else do we have? Spider-Man 2, the video game, by the way, is rumored to have a September release. Because the voice actor for Venom in the game has apparently let leak that it'll be released in September. Hmm. We'll see about that. That seems fine. I want to say that the first Spider-Man game got a September or October release. Hmm. It was in the fall, the winter type stuff. And Miles Morales, the expansion, was released in November. The same year that the PlayStation 5 was released. It was a launch title there. Kind of a expand-alone, as we've said before, where...
September 7th.
Was the first Spider-Man game released? Yeah. So, exactly. That tracks. Which is fine to say that that'll come out then. Which is nice. That'll be great. Looking forward to it. Whenever it does eventually release. Ah, they wouldn't do that to Starfield, would they? Eh, you know what? They would, because, you know, that's an interesting thought. Spider-Man 2, the Marvel game, or the game for PlayStation, has less material released for it. In other words, the promotional material for that game is like two things, maybe. Mm. Like a teaser trailer, and that's about it. Maybe there's one other thing. But I am more confident of its release in September than I am with Starfield, which has lots of promotional material released so far. But even with all of that said, I still think it's not going to make that September release.
So all that promotional stuff is just distraction, right?
I don't think it is. I think it's, well, there's a big to-do coming up with Starfield as far as a... like an Xbox Direct type thing, where they will do a full thing on just Starfield by itself.
That'd be interesting to think about now. Of all the games that had significant delays over and over and over again, how many of them had like ridiculous amounts of promotional material put out there for the general public, as if to say we've got to give them something?
Yeah, could look at BioShock Infinite. I always go back to that because there was a massive playthrough of a full section of that game that got completely scrapped prior to the game's release. Like we've said before, it felt like a lot of things changed in the development of that game. Mm-hmm. Another one would be Watch Dogs, the original Watch Dogs.
Mm, okay.
We got an E3 showing and a couple of things after E3, and we were really ready to go in November, and then it got delayed, massively delayed until like May of the next year or something. It got delayed with no date of when it's going to be coming back. And we didn't know what had happened. And when it did come back, everybody was like, this doesn't match up with what you had before and everything else. So we got bullshotted is what it is.
Now, the only one that doesn't fit that description I was just saying was Hellblade 2.
Hey, we got some Hellblade 2, by the way. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. I don't want to say that we got the tiniest bit of Hellblade. You wouldn't even have to call it that, except it used the main actress and she was showing off some tech.
Okay.
So there was an Unreal, presentation thing this week for Unreal Engine 5. And they had some development tool that they had come up with to where they could take a person's performance and almost in real time, I mean, very, very close to real time, digitize it and be able to do almost anything that they wanted with it and still maintain like an actor portrayal type of thing. And so they did this whole thing where she was on stage. She did it right there. She did the demo right there. They had somebody with a computer go through all the things that they needed to. This took maybe 2 minutes for them to do, and then they played it back. They played it back with her face digitized, and then they said, okay, let's change the look. And so they put a different character up there, but you could see it was her in the eyes, sort of in the face, kind of, but saying the same thing, completely different person. Went from male, female, male, just all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic to see. And then they showed a little bit of Hellblade 2, basically just facial animation type stuff. But a sliver. I wouldn't even... It's worth looking at just for the technology of it and to see what you've got there with Hellblade, but you got no gameplay. There was no gameplay. So that was it. I was hoping for more of it, but there's some fantastic demos in that presentation of all kinds of different tools, not just from Hellblade, but from not even other games, just Unreal Engine and what it can do with lighting effects, with ground effects and foliage effects and water effects and everything else. It's just really, really amazing what Unreal can do. Unreal 5, anyway, can do. So, all right, we're coming up on the top of the hour here. When we come back, we'll keep going down the list of news. Oh, yeah, there it is. There's the one I had in there about the tech demo for Hellblade 2. We will talk. I don't know what we'll talk about. I got a bunch of stuff here, and we'll probably be able to go over all of it when we come back. Music here from a game called Sunhaven, and the title of the track is Withergate. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Thank you. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a new game that released this week called Have a Nice Death. It's the main menu music. Kind of a neat little game, or at least neat-looking little game. I don't know about play. I haven't looked at reviews on it or anything like that. It may actually be an early access. Maybe an early access title. So, currently, I don't know. And so I can't even tell you, you know, how it works. But I do know you play as Death. But that's about all I can tell you.
See, a 2D action roguelite where you play as an overworked Death.
Okay.
Whose employees have run rampant, completely throwing off the balance of souls and his vacation plans. So in order to restore order, you'll have to grab your trusty scythe and show your employees who's boss.
Okay. Yeah. Is it in early access, or do you know?
So your plan is going to be released on March 22nd.
Okay. Yeah. Full release, then. It was this past week, yeah. Hey, I want to thank everybody who is currently in our Twitch chat here. We've got 01 Ella, Abjui, I think. Alessidra, I think. Oh my god. It's like an Ike test. It starts okay, 01 Ella. That's easy enough. But by the second word, I'm going to screw that one up, then Avasimophore is another one. Thanks for the simple pleasures of Bama Brian 17. So much easier. Bigdom Judge? I read that differently than probably I should have, but yep. There's a reason. Commander Root, Drapsnat, Drunk Degenerates, Dynaterra, Lisa Bay, maybe? Lisa B? Mm-hmm. Kata, Lethal Migraine, Thar 66, and Unknown Scout. Also AC Wraith there as well, tuning into the show. We really appreciate you guys. There were other people in here earlier that I hadn't seen. It's the first time I'd seen them as mm-hmm. well.
That's the first time chatters as well. But
yeah, they're all gone. Yeah. They did not stick around for this one. So, yeah. By the way, doing the raid again tonight on Destiny, and I will stream that as well. By the way, streaming now on the fiber.
I bet.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I'm used to watching the thing for, like, drop frames and all that. Nothing. Thing mm-hmm. was just smooth. Just smooth. So, yeah, I'll be streaming that again this evening. And then probably when I play tomorrow, like I did, I streamed the raid that night, and then I got up and just was doing regular Destiny stuff the next night, a lot of Gambit. Yeah. And I streamed that as well. So it's Iron Banner week. So if you want to watch me lose a lot, you could tune in to watch Iron Banner.
Lose for the same in the morning. Old gear.
All I'm trying to do is get the title for it, and all I have to do is, I don't know how many games I have to win. I am 40% into the winning. But that little number only moves if you win matches, and so I don't even want to tell you. I can look it up. I can tell you how many matches I've played so far.
No, I know it's tedious.
Yeah.
So I know it's tedious. You can see your win percentage is what, like.
Whoa, win percentage bad.
Okay, out of 10 matches, how many do you say would you win?
One. Yeah.
You have a 10% win percentage. Okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
Thereabouts. That's one.
Yeah. Because you're not the...
I'm not a PvP-er.
Yeah.
It's like I'm really not.
Same as me when I was playing Destiny. I'm not a fan of PvP. So when I had things that said forces you to play it,
yeah,
I'm like, this is a chore now. This is a tedious chore. The game's now messing up because you're forcing me to play this mode that I'm not a fan of.
It is. It's got the tedium... Tedium to it in certain ways, but you know, I keep coming back. I keep doing it. But yeah, that's the last thing I need to do is just get that 40% to 100%. Luckily, it doesn't count backwards when you lose. Old Destiny used to be the way, man. Old Destiny was like, if you win, you get this. If you lose, you take two steps forward. If you win, you take one step back if you lose. And it was horrible. Well, horrible.
Fighting games are like that. I mean.
Are they?
Yeah.
In what way?
In ranking. Street Fighter V, Virtual Fighter.
Yeah?
Yeah. You have
like when you play ranked matches with other people?
With other people. There's a lot, like a Virtual Fighter, for example, there's a bar at the bottom that increases with the wins that you get. It especially increases if you play with people in your same rank.
Right.
So when you win, that thing goes up. When you lose, it goes down.
Yeah.
So,
no.
Yeah, so it
Destiny still has consistent. That in their competitive PvP playlist.
Mm-hmm.
The regular PvP playlist, your reputation gains continually move up, win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
But in the competitive ranked PvP,
right,
it only moves if you win. And if you now, they may have changed it. It used to be where if you win, it moves, and if you lose, it moves back, you know?
Back, yeah.
But they may have changed that to where if you win, it moves. If you lose, it doesn't do anything. But if you win, it continues to move. I don't think that they put in penalties for losing.
Because you're in a team, right?
You are. Well, yes. Yeah. Well, they have solo play or freelance.
Maybe they take that into account that you're on a team. But if you're playing solo, maybe that's changed. Maybe that's a still.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't. There's another part of the part thing. That, I don't playing. Stick my foot in because it's you know. It's what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I can see that in solo, because that's how it is in a fighting game. It's solo. It's just you against the other person. Whoever wins, wins.
That's how it goes. Maybe in trials. Well, trials I don't think does that either.
Mm-hmm.
So. What else do we have in news here to go over that was going on? A Lego racing game was announced from 2K Games. Lego 2K Drive. And it's due to be released either next month or in May, I think.
Hmm.
Kind of out of nowhere. I mean, there was rumors of it coming, but and those rumors only really picked up like last week as the day was going. There were screenshots released, and of course, you know, Amazon Paris let slip that, you know, there's a order page for something here that hasn't been activated yet. And I'm trying to see if when this game said it was coming out. It's pretty soon. May 19th is when that's going to get released. Apparently, from previews, a lot of outlets were able to have some hands-on with it or some previews with it or something like that. They're good with it. I watched it and I thought, no. I don't know. It could be different once it gets released, and maybe I get my hands on it. If it does get a Game Pass thing where I can try it out and play it and see if I like it, that sort of thing. But I don't know. I mean, you can build your own cart, and it's kind of a kart racer type of thing. So you can build your own cart, and it will take the form of whatever it needs. So if you're driving and you go into water, it'll turn into a boat. If you go off a cliff, it'll turn into a plane, I guess. Something. But it changes the way it needs to change. It is everything an arcade kart racer type thing would be. But, yeah, I don't know if it's... Everybody kept giving it comparisons to, like, Burnout Paradise. And I was like, ooh, okay, let me look at this. And I looked at it, and I was like, okay, well, it's open...
Kart racer?
It's open world. In other words... You just drive around and you can start events wherever you want to start events and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that's about the only thing it shares with Burnout Paradise.
Yeah, because it's a kart racer.
It is, yeah. But again, I haven't put any time with it. If it gives that sense of speed, if it can really pull some stuff in with the controls might get there as well, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Burnout's the only thing that's burnout to me.
Yeah. Because you drop off a cliff and burn out, what happens?
Well, that's out of the game. if you do that, you're out of bounds and it puts you back on the track. But I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
There were boundaries for that. So, yeah. No, totally get it. What else do we have? We already talked about Blizzard. Oh, Elden Ring got Game of the Year at the Game Developers Choice Awards. GDC, I think, was going on this week. This past week. And Elden Ring got the Game of the Year award. It beat God of War Ragnarok, Pentiment, Stray, Tunic, and Immortality. Those are all other games. What else do we have? Other awards were given out for other... Let's see. God of War got Best Audio and Best Technology and Audience Choice. Elden Ring got Best Design and Best Visual Art. Pentiment got Best Narrative. Immortality got Innovation Award. Stray got Best Debut. And Citizen Sleeper got Social Impact Award for that. I'm not sure exactly why, but I'm not exactly sure what Citizen Sleeper is.
Probably one of those emotional heart tugger games. Like, what was the one with what was the one about cancer?
That dragon cancer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Citizen Sleeper.
Yeah, I don't think it's on a level with That Dragon Cancer, which was just that was hard to play.
Yeah.
That, in fact, I didn't finish it or play it, but I demoed it, and that was really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was tough. They had tissues at their demo booth, man, and they were used.
Yeah,
I mean, they weren't used. They were used. People would use them.
For the use of the audience.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't. They didn't just leave used tissues there.
Let's see. Citizen Sleeper, role-playing in the ruins of interplanetary capitalism. Live the life of an escaped worker washed up on a lawless station at the edge of an interstellar society. Inspired by the flexibility and freedom of TTRPGs, don't know what that is, explore the station, choose your friends, escape your past, and change your future.
TTRPGs. I'm trying to think of what that would be. Sounds like Total Time or Turn
Tabletop
know.
RPGs?
Tabletop RPGs, okay.
There you go.
That's what that would be.
Thank you, Google.
Yeah, really. Because I was like, and then AC Wraith comes in there with that one. So
there you go.
Another game won an independent game. Betrayal at Club Low won the grand prize at the 2023 Independent Games Festival Award.
Mm-hmm.
What is that game?
Okay, let's see. Betrayal at Club Low?
Yeah.
Tonight you're on a rescue mission, infiltrating a nightclub that was once a coffin factory. Huh. Will you succeed, will you fail, or will your night take an unexpected detour? Roll the pizza dice and find... Okay, that tells me nothing. Wait a minute.
Well, it's an independent game, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Let's see the reviews. Okay, let's see. This is very much a game about gambling with endorphins and the endless euphoria of getting away with the shenanigans, which vibes perfectly with the essence of dice games.
Okay.
Let's see.
All right.
Huh. A bespoke tabletop adventure brought to digital life. Betrayal at Club Low is incredibly well designed and a lot of quirky fun. Like a battle of wits against a dungeon master that's determined to make you smile as much as they are to defeat you. Betrayal at Club Low is a dark horse for sleeper hit of the year.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see. Looking at screenshots. Making pizza. More pizza.
A lot of pizza in that, huh?
Yeah. Dice rolling.
Pizza sounds good.
Yeah. Guard's gullibility versus your deception.
It, by the way, Betrayal at Club Low beat out Neon White, which I've heard fantastic things about. Not for Broadcast, which is from Tiny Build. That is an interesting game. You play a video editor for a news station, a news television station.
Yeah.
And you have to do all these different things. It's a lot like...
I think about those dudes in Good Morning Vietnam.
No,
this can be broadcast, but this can't.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot like Five Nights at Freddy's in a sense. Not that you've got any of the horror aspects, but while you're inside the control room, you have to keep this switch going. Don't let this thing get down to whatever power level. Make sure this is on. You know, it's multitasking many things at the same time. So, interesting in that way. And the Case of the Golden Idol, also Tunic. Case of the Golden Idol won some other award. It is also a independent, I would say darling, but yeah, independent type of very well-liked game. I actually did pick that up. I just haven't played it.
Okay. So. I was looking at the thing for Not For Broadcast. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It does look fun. The National Nightly News is live, and you're the brains behind the scenes.
Right.
Beep the swears, keep the cameras on the celebs, and keep the audience hooked in this darkly comedic game
yes.
of televised chaos.
Yes.
So, yeah, basically, keep, yeah. Don't show up on YouTube for the wrong reasons.
Right,
folks.
Yeah. Yeah. I demoed it at one of the Penny Arcade. By the way, Penny Arcade Boston's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
PAX Expo in Boston. But I demoed it at a PAX, I don't ever how many years ago. I enjoyed it, but I was like, no, there's no fun here. It's too stressful. Trying to keep everything going. It's like, no, I don't need that kind of, no, I deal with that enough in like real job. I don't want to mess with, no, God, no.
Y'all bringing up some bad memories right now. So no,
right? No, I demoed it and I had fun and I told him, hey man, great game, but yeah. It's not for me. Yeah.
Right now, it's the base game is 60% off. Offer ends March 31st. It's going for $10. The base game.
Yeah.
Then you got the Broadcast Deluxe Edition, the game itself, the season pass, and the soundtrack. That's 53% off. The bundle is about 25.
Yeah. It's not, it's like I said, it's not bad. You'll eventually have to work with delays. In other words, you know, the audio is delayed. So while you're watching the live feed, it comes to you and then you're on a delay. So you do have to bleep things out. But at the same time, you got to keep the camera focused. You got to go from a group shot to a tight shot on the reporter, then a tight shot on the interviewer when they're talking. Or if somebody's given a press conference, you get tight there, and then you've got this audience meter of like, okay, they're good with the tight shot. Oh, now they're getting bored with what you're seeing. Okay, let's pull to a wide shot or do whatever the case.
Yeah.
And just, but at the same time, just so many things. It's all about keeping plates spinning.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the kind of game it is.
Yeah, if you've watched enough live TV, you see the mistakes when they slip out.
And
you
I
see them when they come up there.
I do not like keeping my plates spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I do it on a daily basis. Workday basis, and I just I don't like having things on my plate. So, and this is something that is constantly putting things on your plate, and I don't like that. That's just me.
It was like Papers, Please.
I liked Papers, Please, though.
But that was kind of the same thing. With it keeping a lot of stuff on your plate, you have to look for certain things over and over again.
Yeah,
and
but
more
you're,
things are added.
Yeah,
on.
But you're just looking at the thing to see, like, okay, whatever. I mean, I know you are on a time basis type of thing, but you're just looking at this. It feels a lot more hectic with that game. With Not For Broadcast.
More realistic, yeah.
Yeah, because it just, yeah, it's just, oh, man.
Is it time to react? Is that thing?
I don't know. It's been years since I played it.
Papers, Please?
In
Papers, Please, it's like you can see something and then check it off, isn't it? It's like a, you're just checking paperwork mostly.
Yeah, you are.
But this is like live TV going on right now, and your time to
you're checking about five or six different things, really.
Yeah.
And you've got to pay attention to what's being said while you're looking at everything else to know what's going on. It's actually very funny. Most of the stuff they've got is very funny. Mm-hmm. And it's all live. It all uses live action actors and things.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, something I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Counter-Strike 2 got announced. Something that I forgot actually happened this week. There had been teases coming up to this. And I don't even mean these weren't like legitimate teases. These were things where people were finding out about, you know, well, they just sent a professional Counter-Strike team out to Valve to play.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something else. And then there were all these different things. And then there were trademark registrations and all this stuff. And so, yeah, we finally got confirmation that Counter-Strike 2 is looking for a summer launch. It's promising an overhaul to every system, every piece of content, and every part of the Counter-Strike experience. The announcement comes with three videos of Counter-Strike 2 in action showing off newly updated maps, dynamic smoke grenades, and subtick updates, which Valve says offers even more precise server updates. A limited test is playable starting, well, today, whatever day this was posted. Was this on Tuesday, the 22nd? A limited playable test started that day for select Counter-Strike Global Offensive players. It's going to run on the Source 2 engine, of course. Valve calls it the largest technical leap forward in Counter-Strike's history. In part, that means a visual overhaul for their classic maps, which have been around for 20-plus years, some of them. The maps will be cleaner, brighter, and better. Valve says thanks to upgrades and overhauls, which leverage all the new Source 2 tools and rendering features. So, for those of you playing Counter-Strike, a game that I have never played, then congratulations, welcome to, you know, welcome to 2018. Really, welcome to 2009, to be honest with you. Because I think the Source 2 code was released, I think, with the Orange Box or whatever, Portal and Half-Life 2 and that sort of thing. Yeah. And Counter-Strike was just still sitting there on the old Source engine. Let's see. Previously, the server only evaluated the world in discrete time intervals called ticks, which is what Valve explained. Thanks to Counter-Strike 2's sub-tick update architecture, servers know the exact instant that motion starts, a shot is fired, or a grenade is thrown. As a result, regardless of tick rate as far as how it does the time intervals, your moving and shooting will be equally responsive and your grenades will always land the same way. They've got videos. They released three videos that kind of showcase all of these different things. The grenades and the tick thing and everything else. So those are out there for those of you who play Counter-Strike. Counter-Strike Go has got tons of people. This is like if they did Team Fortress 3. Well, actually, no, because I don't know how big Team Fortress is anymore. But Counter-Strike just kept going. And apparently will continue to keep going. So, for those of you who are fans. All right, we got one more break to do. We'll be right back with more of Endgame Chat here in just a moment. Music here from that Resident Evil 4 remake that hit shelves this week. Or digital shelves this week. So, yeah. Resident Evil 4. This is the Village Battle music. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to Endgame Chat. Music here from Tangled Tower. Another game that showed up on Steam that was like, hey, we think you might like this game. And I looked at it and it was overwhelmingly positive and it sort of did this puzzle thing or whatever. And I was like, all right, just sure. It was on sale. I think it was on sale. I might have gotten it from Humble Bundle, maybe. I can never remember.
Overwhelmingly 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
All types of things, yeah. Came out October of 2019.
Yep. So I'm kind of curious about it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's say we went over Counter-Strike 2. Just not really one of those, just, you know,
She's not your genre.
No, never really was. Day of Defeat was nice. I liked Day of Defeat when we played that. And again, only when we played that as a group, as a team, doing our things, I really, really enjoyed that. That was another good Source game from back before Source 2 and stuff. Mm-hmm. Day of Defeat was wonderful. What else do we have? More, and there will always be more to say about Sony and Microsoft. The two things that we had, I think, this week, talked about Call of Duty, of course, and also talked about, was it Redfall? Yeah, Redfall. Mm-hmm. Redfall is the game from Arkane that is coming up later on. It's a shooter type thing with vampires and stuff like this. It is not enticed me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It apparently hadn't enticed quite a few people. There's a lot of people who are just like, man, this is not what I wanted from Arkane. The guys who did Prey, the guys who did Dishonored. I think they did Prey and Dishonored. I know they did Dishonored, but yeah. But this is something different. Anyway, Redfall is only going to be available on Xbox and PC when it launches later this year. However, that may not have always been the case. There was an interview that was done with Arkane that apparently revealed they were working on a PlayStation 5 version of the game until Microsoft bought Bethesda. And then they canned the port. Which is weird. It kind of goes against what Microsoft has said when they say that we want everybody to be able to play all these games wherever they are. And they've never really kind of been they've always put forth that sort of line of we want everybody anywhere to enjoy these games.
So put forth an image, but do something different behind the scenes?
Right, or say something and then do something completely different afterwards. Which, again, kind of sits into Sony's court whenever they want to say, look, see what happens? They don't, they can keep these games for themselves, even though Sony doesn't care. They just don't want this. They're picking on COD because it's the biggest thing that they can pick on.
It's the moneymaker.
But they don't want this to go through. And it looks more and more likely that it is going to go through. There was a time where it was kind of on shaky ground, but I think that's all out the window. I don't know. What is the deadline? I'm curious. Every link in this article that talks about a timeline takes me to another article that doesn't give me a timeline. It just gives me another link to another timeline that still doesn't give me anything. Really, really annoys me. As regulators approach their deadline to approve or reject Microsoft's $69 billion acquisition of Blizzard and Activision, those for and against the mega merger are filing every last argument they can think of to try and not let this happen. Current one involves Microsoft telling Sony to quit whining already and just get started making its own Call of Duty competitor. That's not exactly what Microsoft said, but it was the spirit of one small excerpt from the company's latest testimony.
Yeah, April 25th.
Oh, is that the deadline? So next month?
Yeah.
So a month away? We're 1 month away.
EU antitrust regulators have extended their deadline for a decision on Microsoft's $69 billion acquisition of Activision to April 25th, according to a European Commission filing on Wednesday.
Okay.
So April 25th. Yeah, I'm a month away.
Let's see. This thing goes on to say, as spotted by another website, Microsoft argued in a supplemental response that its 10-year proposal to keep Call of Duty available on PlayStation 5 and future Sony consoles is plenty of time and wouldn't leave the hardware manufacturer on a cliff edge once it expires. Why not? Because Sony can use that time to make its own version of the best-selling military shooter. Here's what it wrote. Microsoft considers that a period of 10 years is sufficient for Sony as a leading publisher and console platform to develop alternatives to Call of Duty. The 10-year term will extend into the next console generation. Moreover, the practical effect of the remedy will go beyond the 10-year period, since games downloaded in the final year of the remedy can continue to be played for the lifetime of that console and beyond with backwards compatibility. So that's what it said, in a sense, is what they're saying. Is like, hey, Sony can come up with their own thing.
So get cracking.
Yeah, I know. Sony made some good shooters before. Killzone was not bad. Some of them weren't bad. They've also got, I mean, Sony's got really good exclusives. I know COD is a big seller for them. But, you know, I look at their exclusives like God of War and Horizon and Ghosts and Spider-Man and everything else. And I'm just like, man, Last of Us, Uncharted. They got the pedigree. They've got, you know, they got the talent to make it work.
Yeah.
It's not on COD levels. But,
I mean, well, look, just go back. Just go to the drawing board. What makes COD COD?
I know.
Just see what works. See if you can improve on it. Or what? I mean, look. People have tried and failed with all these popular games before, but they kept trying. Like, look at what they did with Sony. They tried to make a version of Smash Brothers.
They did, didn't they?
It was not.
Forgot about PlayStation Battle All Stars or something. PlayStation All Stars.
Smash Brothers. It didn't do well. You couldn't out smash Smash. So. They failed in that, but they gave it a shot. Give it a shot here.
What else did they? Well, they tried with the what were those controllers that were kind of with the big bulbs on the end of them, the big lights?
The Move.
Was that Move?
The PlayStation Move?
Yeah. I mean, that's not to say that Microsoft hasn't tried to do it as well. Look, when Nintendo came out with the Wii, both companies, Sony and Microsoft, were like, we've got to put motion controls in our stuff now. Mm-hmm. Microsoft came up with the Kinect. Sony came up with Move.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have the VR and the VR2, which is like $500. It's ridiculous.
Think about it. Let me ask this. What does make Call of Duty stand out above all the others? What is it about that game that has it that has so many people clamoring for more every year? What is it about that game?
It's the multiplayer, obviously. It is not the single player. You can't look at any of the single player aspects of that game and try and say, well, they did this. That's never going to be the answer. The answer is in the multiplayer. I don't know what's in there in the multiplayer, because plenty of people, and by people I mean companies, plenty of companies have copycat that style and what it does. But no one can, which is very strange, because you look at something like Fortnite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fortnite, or you can even go back to PUBG.
Yeah.
That whole elimination style thing.
Yeah.
PUBG is born. So then something else comes and says, well, we're going to take that PUBG aspect and we're going to basically do the same thing, tweak a little bit here and there. You know, and that's when you got, and there was a name for that stuff, and there still is a name, and I can't remember what it's called.
The genre, you mean?
Yeah, and I can't remember what the name of the
something
genre.
Survival or
right, yeah, something like that. But anyway, you started seeing these things crop up.
Yeah.
And so much so, and I remember us watching an E3 presentation for God, I think it was EA or something like that, and they were talking about Battlefield, and Battlefield's going to have a whatever the mode is, where it's a survival combat mode type thing, you know, basically putting PUBG aspects into your Battlefield or whatever it was. Apex Legends comes along, does the same thing. Fortnite comes along first, does another tweak of it. Apex Legends comes around, does it again. Copycat after copycat after copycat, mostly successful as it's gone. I know Call of Duty has its own mode, or it's free to play actually. And That's doing fine. It's interesting that nobody's been able to capitalize on Call of Duty. Copycat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Hey, let's just take that formula and put it into our game. Some of them have, but the success is just not there. COD still stands king among all in that regard. that I can think of, and I could be mistaken if somebody wants to throw out some titles that are like, no, this gives COD a run for its money. It's basically Call of Duty, but it's something different, and it gives them a run for their money. I don't know that it's there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a title I've played too much of. I mean, I think I've played like one before, and it was like years back.
Which one?
I think it was
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty, the Black Ops one, I think.
Okay.
I think it was that one.
Yeah.
Years back. And then anything similar to that would have been, story mode for Spec Ops The Line.
Good game.
When I played that one. Yeah.
Did that have a multiplayer mode?
I don't know. I didn't play it for multiplayer.
I don't think it did. I don't think it did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it did or not.
Just like I said, I mean, it's just... Take it. You got the material. There's plenty of games out there for you to look at. See what they do consistently.
Yeah.
And like you said, copycat that. Try something. Because you've shown the willingness to do so. You've shown the willingness to try.
But it's just interesting that no one's been able to kind of have parity to where this exists, the COD exists, and then there's a mirror of that game in some other form that also exists.
Yeah,
because it just hasn't been successful, and so they stay around, but then they die. Not Borderlands 3, but the next thing that came, Evolve.
Yeah. Okay.
Tried to do not something similar to Call of Duty, but something similar in that. Left 4 Dead sort of way. Let's make Left 4 Dead where you got your four players who are cooperative play, but then let's throw in a fifth player who is the enemy, who's the monster, and let's do that. Mm-hmm. And you had that kind of crop up, and that still exists in your Friday the 13th and your upcoming Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's a lot of your horror stuff.
Predator Survival Grounds.
Predator.
Like that.
I think it Dead by Daylight or
did Aliens did that, didn't they?
I don't remember. Probably.
If not, it should.
Well, I know they did one where there was a team of Marines and there was a team of aliens. You could be on either team, but not the one where it's like 1v4.
Yeah,
basically, which is what those are. Okay. I think Evil Dead does the same thing. I think Evil Dead has a 1v4, or at least something that's out there now. They really rely on that horror thing, don't they?
I want to say Resident Evil did something like that too, but it may have been multiple type of things. No, Dead Space did.
Mm-hmm.
Years back, its multiplayer was multiple necromorphs versus engineers or soldiers or whatever.
Yeah, but Evolve didn't stay around, and
no, it didn't.
Back for Blood, which was their other one, that didn't really.
That went quick, didn't
it? It did, but still not as quick as was it Anvil? No,
Anthem. Anthem. Yeah.
Anvil's an engine for a video game.
Yeah. Anthem came out, and then the price dropped again. And then it went.
Anthem tried to do the Destiny thing.
Yeah.
And it couldn't do it.
Yeah, the keyword there is tried. Tried to do the Destiny thing. Yeah, but.
Well, see, that's the thing. I have the experience playing Destiny, so I can look at that and say, well, they I see where they tried to do this, but they left out this part, or they're not making it this way, or whatever. I can critique it, right? I can't do that with a Call of Duty. I can't play a Call of Duty and then, or play some other game that's a mirror of that, and tell you what the differences are, you know, because I don't know it well enough.
Yeah.
Whereas people who play those can completely give you a list of here's what's wrong. So while I'm saying there's not much difference here, somebody else knows that there's a ton of difference between.
Yeah, come to think of it, if it's a Call of Duty clone, and if you're not really into the Call of Duty, why would you look at the clone then? What would inspire you to play that clone of it if you're not interested in original. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you're,
maybe that'll be a thing.
If you're satisfied with it, then why would you? You know, if you're satisfied playing Fortnite, why would you move to Apex Legends? Mm-hmm. If you're satisfied playing Apex Legends, you probably came from Fortnite. I don't know why you would go back. Because that came out first type of thing. I get it. But so that's the other thing. If you're good in, or if you're fine with Call of Duty the way it is, why would you ever play anything else?
Mm-hmm.
That is a Call of Duty clone, I mean.
What I'm saying is a Call of Duty clone that would inspire me to play it instead of Call of Duty.
Because
Call of Duty ain't doing
right?
it. Call of Duty ain't doing it for me. So if you can make something like that, but it would inspire me to play it, then that would be a heck of a trick to pull off.
I know.
So,
and nobody's been able to do it.
Yeah,
that I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, like Microsoft said to Sony, get cracking.
I know you got 10 years. Go for it. Yeah, I don't. April 25th is when this deadline comes around. So I wonder how long it'll take them to everything go through. Probably a year after it, probably. Mm. It'll probably be until next April before the actual buyout happens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could be quicker than that. I'm not sure. We'll know when you guys know whenever that happens. So. All right. What else do we have? I think we hit pretty much every bit of news. No, we didn't. There was one other one, and I've got to finish. I have the graphic novel that I'm about to reference here. I just have not read it.
Hmm.
Currently in development is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. Based on the Last Ronin series, which I have not read. I do have them.
Yeah, same here. I got it.
But I have not read them yet. Yeah, I think I'm lacking one more issue and it may have become a series, but I remember the original release, I think, was a 4-issue series, and I'm missing one of those. Not that I can't find it. I just haven't gone back to look.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go... I'm gonna have to go to the comic shop and make sure. Should have gone today. If you were talking about if I had gotten to it earlier, I should have did today. But yeah, Last Ronin, one of those turtle series. Yeah, if they're making a game off it, yeah.
It's gonna be primarily a single player game, and yeah. I'm skimming over this article because I don't want to be spoiled on the graphic novel.
If the title doesn't give it away already,
it hasn't. I will say it says, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin is inspired by big action RPGs, which I didn't know God of War was an RPG, but it says big action RPGs like God of War. So it'll be a single player,
mm-hmm.
more character story driven type of game, not necessarily a hack and slash type thing, even though it'll likely have a hack and slash mechanic to it.
Yeah, it's a story.
Yeah,
it would have to be a story driven type thing, not the action that we've known from the Turtle series.
Yeah,
yeah, it is heavily story based.
Yeah, I'm totally down for it, and it really I need to go get those.
I think the only biggest one I've read before that was City at War. Did you ever read that one?
Was that also Ninja Turtles? I may have it. I don't know. I feel like I do.
It was when Shredder. Spoiler, but it's been years.
Yeah, I know, but don't spoil
years.
It. I may have it. I don't know. I'm weird about spoiler. Well, go ahead and spoil it because I'll likely forget about it if I ever get around to reading it.
Okay. It's a power vacuum in the Foot Clan because they took the Turtles took out Shredder.
Oh, okay.
And so the City at War is basically the factions of the Foot Clan vying for control, and all their battles are taking place in New York.
Gotcha.
And that thing is spreading chaos everywhere in the city. So now the Turtles have to deal with the fallout from all of that. And it was about 25, 26 issues, and I think it's been put into a graphic novel form.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, I think I had it at the issue level. I don't think I bought the graphic novel version. But those issues are old, and now that I think about it, I may have to go for a second printing. Find a way to acquire that.
Yep. Okay. Looking over the news here, that's pretty much we covered everything, except there was somebody on it. There was some YouTuber. Boy, let me see here. Nintendo is closing the Wii U and 3DS eShops. These are the online stores where you can buy games for those systems, Wii U and 3DS. They're closing them. There was a deadline like, hey, we're going to shut these down, so get the games you want to get while you can. Many of the games being removed will disappear and never be seen or made available ever again. Some of these you can only find digitally, which is why it was such a big deal. Loads of these games are tiny little indie things that probably haven't been purchased or heard from for years, but that doesn't mean they're not worth preserving. Some of the games disappearing are big, important releases. The Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, for example, will no longer be legally and commercially available once the Wii U eShop shuts down. If they release it on Switch with the revamp, which I think they did anyway, or maybe they didn't, then it'll be available there. If they release it as some sort of backwards compatibility thing on the Switch, you know, like they do with some of those other games, then it'll be available there. Anyway, some dude went through and bought all of them. He bought 866 Wii U games and 1,547 3DS titles. Wow.
Disposable income is something, man.
He spent $22,791. You guys have a great week. We are done.
That didn't set you off, did it?
It didn't, but my God. Hopefully he makes a profit on it, right? Yeah. Anyway. That is going to do it for us, and we're going to go out on a game here called Contraband Police. It's the main menu music. I want to thank everybody for joining us and listen to us on the stream and every other way you get to us, Discord, Twitch, everything else. Thank you so much for joining us. So sorry about the hum. We'll keep working on it. Do it till we get it right, I guess. Here is music from Contraband Police. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.